50 years ago, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 outlawed discrimination based on race, sex, or religion. In the intervening years, how much progress have we as a society made in improving racial and social inequality? Today, we begin a new series on WSIU called The Listening Project. In November, Carbondale Community Arts held a commemoration of the Civil Rights Act and hosted a Race Card Project installment. The Race Card Project is a national initiative that asks people to talk about their experience with race in 6 words. That day, some of the participants sat down in our Listening Project booth to talk about their 6 words. In our first installment, we hear from Lynn Chambers Ketchens of Grand Chain.
So my 6 words are, I hope it won't matter someday. I hope that when my grandchildren become adults or have their own children and grandchildren, that these conversations that we have on race and social inequality and injustice and pain and poverty and disparity caused by racial inequality, I hope they'll be abstract intellectual conversations at that point. Like we sit around and talk about what was life before electricity or an 8-track or a cassette that my grandchildren can't even conceptualize. So I hope one day it will be that way. I grew up in rural southern Illinois in a very small town. I was raised by my grandparents. My grandparents were very different people. My grandmother was very fair-skinned. She grew up in the South. She could have passed as white. She was raised as a Catholic in a convent by nuns. My grandfather was shoe leather dark, as they used to say, that suffered a very abusive childhood. His father was a sharecropper. Lots of stories with that. So somehow these two people came together, and they had very different concepts about many things. But one thing that they agreed on was that education was the antidote to poverty. However, my grandmother had a lot of ideas and really not a lot of love for who she was as a black woman. So I always heard that the key to success was, besides education, that if you just had to marry, he should be light skinned and have curly hair, and to make sure that we would be accepted in society. I went to elementary school. It was pretty segregated, with me being the only black in my class. Back then, they used to track, so we were in A, B, and C levels and all of that horrific stupidity. So I didn't really have a concept of the differences until sixth grade, when a lot of African-American students came over, and we were all in sixth grade together. And one of those students was from a particular religious sect that didn't care for white people, that's mild, actually hated white people. And because my friends were white and she perceived me as white, one day in the classroom she spit on me and called me a hunky lover. And I think it was one of those defining moments in your life, because I never wanted that to happen again. So I became very black. I disregarded my white friends. I cut my hair. I started wearing an afro as I moved into junior high. Anything that I perceived to be white, I started to reject. So that was a very painful and weirdly defining experience that it took me a long way to work back from. Because I did start to see everything in terms of black and white. Was I treated this way? And then as I've gotten older today, I still wonder if I perceive mistreatment. Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm a woman? Is it because I'm not a size 6? Or is it because I live in rural America? Which ism faces me today? So I'll end this story with where I started. I hope when my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren sit in this seat, that it won't matter.
That's Lynn Chambers Ketchens. Her story was recorded on November 8, 2014, during the Carbondale Community Arts University commemoration of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. WSIU's Listening Project chronicles the stories, experiences, and history of the people who call this region home.